Good morning and welcome. The scripture says, this is the day the Lord has made. What's the rest of it? Amen. You're awake. Thank you very much. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, I'm English and this is a beautiful day outside. If I was in England now, I'd probably be sunbaking outside. And then a couple of more degrees and we'd be proclaiming a heat wave. So, but it is a beautiful day and when you get up so early in the morning, it's wonderful. All right. You know, I'm reminded a lot about time. And this time, this day, this hour comes but only once. It never comes by again. And today, just as I was saying before, this is a new day. This is a day that God has made freshly for us today. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right, the scripture. There, put that up there for me if you would. Because the Lord's great love are not consumed by, for his compassion never fails. And they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So every morning his compassion is brand new. Let me remind you, as I said before, that time is short. And here we are. This is the sixth Sunday of the year 2023 that we're here. Isn't that amazing? I remember, I think it was the first Sunday I was here and I said that. Here we are 6 weeks down the track. And as I said, I'm reminded that time is short and time waits for nobody. All right? Amen?
Amen.
All right, okay. All right. Now last week, if you remember, those who were here and those who took notes, remember that Gavin was speaking about the experience of presence of God. So he's asked me to continue along that way. And so let's look at the life of Jesus. And, you know, Jesus was the most influential person that's ever walked the face of the earth. The feeling is, by scholars, by the way, we don't know a great deal about Jesus from when he was a teenager till he started his ministry. And there's all this supposition about what happened, what ministry did he do and things like that. But we know that he started his ministry when he was 30 years of age. And scholars say that Jesus never traveled any more than 100 miles from where he was first born. And so that means that if we were to give that an example of I think it's about 160K, he would have traveled from here up the Hume Highway just past Benalla. That would be as far as he went. But when you look at that, and how did he do it? And what was his mode of transport? Well, Jesus walked, that's right. Or maybe caught a ride on a donkey. That's how he got there. You know, there are more books written about Jesus than any other person has ever been born. And he lived a mere 33 years. And his ministry started at the age of 30. But the effect of that 3 years of ministry was as just, you know, influenced the whole world. The effect he had upon humanity. And Jesus, as I said the other day, was born to die. And the prophecy about him that he would be rejected was 900 years before. That he would be rejected by mankind. You know, I find it kind of puzzling on one level that a man that exuded such incredible compassion, incredible love, would be rejected. And the Bible says that he who was first would be last. And that's what Jesus did. He was last. So the last will be first and the first will be last. What does that all mean? It means that God loves the humble in heart. God delights in the humble of heart. And you think about Jesus, the purest man that was ever born. He lived a life without sin, yet he was rejected. It's hard to understand that, really. We know why he was rejected. You know, I often talk about coffee shops. You know, I was in a coffee shop. And this was yesterday, a week before. I was in a coffee shop. It was early in the morning. In fact, we had to wait for the coffee to open up in Napier Street. And there were four ladies in the coffee shop. And they were sitting about 3 metres from me having coffee. And I was sitting there in a chair just by myself reading the newspaper and enjoying my coffee. And then these ladies look like lovely grandmas, just like some of our grandmas here. And I wasn't listening to their conversation. But what happened was, while I was there, all of a sudden, the name of Jesus was used in vain. And you know what? Every time I hear that, it's like sandpaper against my skin. Not only did it happen once, about 3 or 4 minutes later, the word Jesus Christ came up again. And I, when I went home, I told Margaret, I really wanted to go across to those ladies and tell them off. But you see, the world now says that's acceptable. That's acceptable to use that language. But it's not acceptable for me or for you to go and wish someone Merry Christmas. They suggest now that we use the word or the sentence Happy Holidays. So what's happened is the world has reduced the name of Jesus in that context to a swear word. And yet, for me, it's offensive. But for them out there, it's okay to use his name in vain. And whenever I hear that, if I'm in my office and someone comes through to see us and they use the Lord's name in vain, you know what I say to them? Don't blame Jesus. No. We need to stick up for that. It's unacceptable. Happy holiday. No, Merry Christmas. There are some parts of the Christian faith that have brought Christianity into disrepute. And I have never, ever maligned another denomination or another church leader publicly. I said publicly. Because when you criticize somebody, criticism says more about you than it does about them. But you know, I watched occasionally, just for research purposes, a couple of those televangelists. And you can understand why some people look at that and they get this distorted view of Christianity. And you know, in your travels, if you ever, in the years to come, and you're traveling around and you see a church with a big sign up that says John Gray Ministries, don't come into that church, because that means that I've lost my mind. Because it's not my ministry, it's God's ministry. Amen. You know, and these guys that use their names up there, it's more important to have their name up there than what it is. Yeah, I'm in ministry, but it's not my ministry. Does that make sense? Amen. As I said, I wouldn't malign them publicly. But when you see a preacher bragging about he's the only billionaire preacher, there's something wrong. When he brags about his jets, his private jets, there's something wrong. And when you see this particular person's home on sprawling acres of land, living a movie star life, doesn't go down too well, does it? We're talking about, you know, followers of Jesus, men of God. How would Jesus have traveled? Well, we know he traveled by foot and by donkey. In those incredibly harsh conditions over there, there weren't roads and highways and things like that. You know, and extreme temperatures of weather. And where did he stay when he was out there? Sometimes he would camp out. Go ahead. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Next part of that. This is what Jesus said. Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." So effectively, Jesus was homeless. And what Jesus did, he relied upon the hospitality of friends or others to put him up. And sometimes they would camp out because he had nowhere to lay his head. You know, one of the cost of following Jesus you know, there's nothing wrong with wealth. But here's the question. It's what you do with it. You ask a rich man, and this is true. Ask a rich man, how much more do you need? And here's the answer. Just a little bit more. And that's true. And I can give a living testament to that because I know someone like that. Just a little bit more. Next one. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself became a disciple of Jesus. Now, Joseph, by the way, was part of the committee of the Sanhedrin. He was a good man, but he was almost the secret admirer of Jesus. But you see, Jesus had those who were wealthy too. And that wealthy person was a follower of Jesus. Next one. Let's just move on. So we're doing a bit of a journey through Matthew, but Matthew chapter 4 and verse 12, we see how Jesus first began his preaching. That was his first time, as Gavin said last week, I think it was, that in Matthew chapter 4, that's when Jesus gave his first sermon. And then in Matthew 18, and verse 18, we see how Jesus called his disciples, "Come follow me." But I want to read to you now from Matthew chapter 4 and verses 23 to 25. And after I read them, I want to make a little adjustment to the location. I can't see up there. How good is that when you can do that there up there? I can be here talking to you, but look up there, but I can't see it. My glass, not good enough. Jesus went through all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering with severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. He didn't miss out any sickness there, did he? He got them all in there. Now I want to make a change. Can you go back to the beginning? Jesus went through Victoria, teaching in their churches and synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread throughout Australia, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering from severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and those paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from all over Australia and Victoria and all the regions came across, and they followed him. Canberra. But you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, Margaret, when we make that change, you told me, come on, when you make that change of words academically, what do you say? What is that? Innovation on text. You got that? You got that, Graham? It is. News spread and they came from everywhere. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, that scripture I just read before, nothing's changed. Nothing has changed. Malachi 3, verse 1 says this. I haven't got it. All right, sorry. Let me read it to you. It's the first part of verse 6. It says, "I, the Lord, do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. You see, these scriptures declare that God is the same always and never ever changes. God is always good. We sang that earlier on. God is always loving and God is always powerful. No matter what's happening in the world, God never changes. You can trust him. He is consistent. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there is a word there, some of you wordsmiths, immutable. Is that how I say it? Immutable? Immutable means he never, ever changes. That's our God. All right, we're almost there already, so we're going to be in early morning this morning. Let's, if you would, just turn to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. And I love this verse. Now, who doesn't struggle sometimes in life? Yeah. We all go through stuff. And this is the invitation that God gives. He, you know, Jesus' arms are open. And he says, come. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. As I said, Jesus has open arms and bids you come. Irrespective of what struggles are going on in your life, health, family, finance, whatever it might be, you can bring this to him. And I want to tell you, almost on a daily basis, I have folks that come into my office, just pour their heart out, and they're struggling with life. And sometimes it's just, as I said, we just listen to them, and I will say to them, put it before the Lord. See, he has the answers. Let's pray. Maybe I could ask you to stand, would that be all right, if you can? Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here in this place. We thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayer. So let me repeat to you again. These are Jesus' words. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So whatever your need is today, Jesus asks you to come. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened. So, Father, just in the quiet of this time, that Lord, it's a time that we can unload. As a Father, you hear our prayer. You hear the cries of our heart. So I'm just going to give you a moment just to pray that quiet prayer between you and the Lord. For whatever that might be. Maybe it is that, Lord, you may need to unload something with him. Maybe it is that you need to ask forgiveness for something. Maybe it is that you're asking for healing of your body or for that of a loved one, someone you're concerned about. Allow you to pray. Just while your eyes are closed and we're here. I'm just wondering if we could sing I Love You, Lord. And Narelle, if you could send us off.
Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let me be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
And Father, we love you. You ask us to come. And so, Lord, whether we come physically or just in our hearts, you know our hearts, Lord, and we love you. And so, Lord, I pray for each person here today, that, Lord, you would minister them right where they stand. Right where they stand, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, just rest upon your people, I pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.